Let's pray. Resurrected God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Lord, our rock and our redeemer, the one who redeems both our thoughts and our words. Amen. Is there a particular milestone in life that you enjoy celebrating? I mean, there are a lot of different ones to choose from, so it makes sense if you need some time to think it over. Here are a few general categories of life's milestones if you need some help getting the thoughts flowing. There are the yearly celebrations that mark another trip around the sun, like birthdays and various relationship anniversaries. There are the physical milestones of growth, aging, and experience that remind us of the gifts of each of life's seasons. And then there are the milestones of significant transitions, like moving to a place that's new to you, starting a new school or in a new program, retiring from a career that has shaped so many years of your life. There are many types of milestones, and some of them mark occasions of joy, and others mark occasions of grief. All of them, though, are filled with meaning. Is there a particular milestone that you enjoy celebrating? For most of my life, I've struggled to get excited about celebrating milestones. Yearly ones, physical ones, the major transition ones. I mean, it's not that I'm against throwing a good party every once in a while or acknowledging the significance of a moment. It's just that I typically enjoy being present in a moment more than I do attempting to memorialize it. I mean, I'm pretty sure that the only reason I have pictures from different seasons of my life is because other people had cameras. I mean, I appreciate looking back at pictures. I'm just not very good at remembering to take them. And that about sums up my relationship with significant moments. Luckily, I'm married to someone who is also not very passionate about celebrating milestones. And I use the word lucky here, not because I think celebrating milestones is a bad thing. I actually think it's great. And I love when other people find creative ways to mark moments of growth and change. I just know it's not one of my natural strengths, and it's nice to have a partner who has the same growing edge. Here's what I mean by that. So about a year or two ago, Karen and I were at home with the kids when we received a text message from someone in our extended family. It was our wedding anniversary, and this member of our extended family was sending just a kind note of blessing and encouragement. And since tech companies have successfully programmed us to look at our phone every time a notification pops up, Karen and I did at the same time. And then after we read the message, we looked at each other and smiled. We smiled because each of us had completely forgotten it was our anniversary. Our extended family does a better job at remembering these things than we do. And so we had a good laugh at ourselves. And we wished each other happy anniversary, and then we kept doing whatever it was that we were doing. Probably folding laundry or cleaning the living room. Now, if either of us were married to someone who had a passion for celebrating yearly milestones in life, this would be a very different type of story. But for us, it's one that we smile at, in part because Karen and I tend to be folks who focus more on enjoying and celebrating the daily rhythms of life than we do on marking life's milestones. Not that those are mutually exclusive. You can do both. You can be fully present in daily life and celebrate life's milestones, which is something that I've been wondering about and learning these past 6 to 12 months. I mean, one of the many things I've wondered about during the course of the pandemic is how strange time can feel when you do the same thing over and over again every day. I mean, typically, for those of us who are not good at marking personal milestones, this is where community milestones really come in handy. Like the milestones of seasonal change, when summer moves to fall, you can count on kids going back to school. You can count on food starting to taste like cinnamon and winter squash. And then when fall turns to winter, you can gather for Advent, and we can sing hymns that will carry us through the stretches of the long nights. These are community milestones that help us all make our way through the year. And so during the pandemic, when our community milestones needed to drastically change, time started to feel strange. as we ate and slept and worked and lived and learned and played in the same space every day for weeks on end, that strangeness grew. For me, part of the strangeness was the way that the lines between yesterday, today, and tomorrow started to blur a little bit. I don't know if that happened for any of you. And when those days started to run together, I realized something about milestone celebrations that I hadn't understood before, at least not in the same way. I realized that celebrating milestones is a bit like keeping the Sabbath. It's an act of generosity. It's an act of generosity that reminds us to receive time as the gift of God's grace that it is. Part of what's so profound about the Sabbath is that it disrupts our plans whether or not we're ready for it. And then it reminds us that time itself is a gift from God. The Sabbath reminds you and me that we are not God, that we are not the ones who keep the world turning. The Sabbath reminds us that time is a gift. And it calls us to receive this gift and to give thanks. And in giving thanks and practicing gratitude, we are invited to remember who God is. And we're invited to remember who we are as God's people. People invited to live inside of God's love. And there's something similar at play in milestone celebrations. See, often milestones arrive whether or not you're ready for them. Your birthday and that relationship anniversary are dates on the calendar that you can't skip over. You can ignore it, but you can't skip it. Your knees and your back and your heart cannot carry the same load at different seasons in life, no matter how hard you try. And major transitions are always filled with unknowns that you can only navigate once you get there. See, often milestones arrive whether or not you're ready for them. And while celebrating life's milestones can create opportunities for us to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep, they can also teach us something about gratitude. They can teach us to give thanks for the gift of time. We might be giving thanks for the time that we've shared with another person. Or we might be giving thanks that we made it through a really difficult time. Whatever the occasion, when we celebrate one of life's many milestones, we are giving thanks for the gift of time. And in giving thanks for the gift of time and in practicing gratitude for this gift of grace, we're invited to remember who God is and who we are as part of God's beloved creation. We're invited to remind us that God gives us time as a gift, and we're invited to receive it as grace. In our passage this morning, the Hebrew people experienced one of the most significant transitions in the Hebrew scripture. In Joshua chapters 3 and 4, the season of the Exodus had finally come to a close. And just as God had rolled back the waters of the Red Sea in order to provide safe passage from Egypt, God now rolled back the waters of the Jordan River so that the Hebrew people could finally enter the Promised Land. So this is a moment of transition that the significance can't be understated or overstated. Before they started to carve out life in this new land, God told Joshua something. He told Joshua to celebrate the milestone that just happened. God told him to send a few men back into the dry riverbed, to have them each pick out a large stone, and then to build a memorial that will remind the people of God's faithful presence in their life. And depending on how we want to read verse 9, there's a little confusion about whether or not the memorial was built in the middle of the river in Gilgal, or if there was one in each spot. But in our passage this morning, the 12 stones from the Jordan River are set up in the city of Gilgal. And just as the Passover meal was an act of gratitude that both remembered and declared God's faithful presence, this milestone, this monument of stones taken from the riverbed, was an act of gratitude and was an act of memory. It was a celebration that gave thanks for the time that God's presence sustained the people. And in giving thanks, in practicing gratitude for the gift of life sustained by God's presence, the people were called to remember who God was. And they were invited to remember who they were as part of God's creation. And they, every generation was invited to do the same. And every time they saw those stones, they were told to remember that God was the one who liberated them from Egypt, and that they were God's covenant people. As followers of Jesus who have been grafted into those many generations who can look at the stones and see God's presence, we are invited to celebrate the milestones and life and faith that we experience, even if that kind of thing is not one of our natural strengths. We're invited to take stones from whatever river we've crossed and to set them up in an act of gratitude and memory. For it is in the act of giving thanks for the gift of time and for God's sustaining presence that we are reminded who God is, and we're reminded who we are. We're reminded that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh, God who met us in time. And we're invited to remember that we are followers of this resurrected Messiah. As a congregation, it's felt like the month of May has been a month of milestones. I mean, during a few weeks at the beginning of the month, we marked the milestones in life of our sixth graders by handing them Bibles and offering them blessings. We offer blessings to our graduating seniors who are about to step into a new season of life. Last week, we shared communion, and we started our covenant for the year ahead. This week, we're sending Sarah into a new season of life. We're commissioning me into a time of sabbatical, and we've dropped our mask requirement, which, you know, feels like a big milestone, especially when you consider that last year at this time, May 31st, was our last Sunday worship podcast. Right? It feels a long time ago and not that long ago. These are just a few of the milestones that we've experienced as a congregation in the past month alone. My guess is that you've experienced some of your own. Which milestones have been difficult to acknowledge? Which milestones have made you smile? Is there one that you enjoy celebrating? There are a lot of different ones to choose from, so it makes sense if you need to take some time to think it over. We're actually going to hold some of that space for you to do just that during the Song of Response. During the Song of Response today, there are going to be a couple questions about milestones on the screen. I encourage you to give them some thought, to pray through them, to rest with them. I encourage you to ponder the milestones in your life and in your faith, and to wonder what it might mean to celebrate them, and what celebrating them might teach you about who you are and about who God is. What might it mean for you to set aside time and space and resources to give thanks to God for the gift of grace called time? For it is in the act of giving thanks for the gift of God's grace that we are reminded who God is, and that we learn who we are as part of God's beloved creation. Let's pray.